If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 15. We're going to go right into the Word today. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 13. I encourage you, on a couple side notes, I encourage you to bring your Bible. Obviously, we have things on the screen. You can do it on your phone. One of the things I want to challenge and encourage you to do in the routine of your Christian walk is to write things down. Write things down. Now, that could be in your Bible. If you have your Bible and you can write notes, that's a great way, because if you ever come back to that verse, you can see things that God has spoken to you. Or it could be a journal that maybe the Lord's given you a verse and you want to write it down. Don't fall into the trap of convenience where you just like, oh, I'll listen to it and I'll remember it. And because the tactic, according to Matthew 13, of the enemy is to cause you to forget the truth of God's Word. Because he doesn't want the power of God's Word to impact your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. So you could do that through your technology, whatever, but I do encourage you to write things down. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, Now the God of hope. Let's throw that on the screen and you read that with me, will you? 1, 2, 3. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Wait. Let's start all again. Now the God of hope do what? Fill you. Stay there for a second, will you? Stay there for a second. Let's not read past farther than that. Now the God of hope fill you. Now the God of hope fill you with what? With all. Say all. I want you to know today, right now, wherever you're at in your walk with God, in your destiny from him, in your journey, in your prayer request, in your battles of faith that you're fighting, whatever you're standing against, whatever wind's blowing against you, that God has made available to you all joy. Look at that. All. Say all. That means there should be nothing lacking in that area of your joy. Now, that moves beyond, and we won't go into that specifically today, but that moves way beyond just an emotional thing, because our emotions go up and down. Sometimes you wake up feeling on cloud nine and everybody loves you, and sometimes you wake up and you feel like you're not even saved and everybody hates you. Can I get an amen to that? So we can't be moved, according to Romans, by what we feel, hear, or see. We must be moved by the truth of the Word of God. So the joy that God has for us, we find in Scripture, and challenge everything I say in your own time, because I want you to study and challenge ideas that you like or even not too sure about for your own growth. But the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so it moves beyond just the emotional hype. You know, if we try to think of it as an emotional hype, then we all try to fit into a mold that really is unrealistic. And then you get a bunch of Christians walking around smiling all the time, acting super happy, and they're just acting really weird. Can I get an amen? Right. And it's okay to be happy. It's good to smile. If you never smile and you're always frowning, that's another problem in itself and another story. But the reality is we got to move beyond the emotional moment to the revelation of the truth and say, wait a minute, I have the joy of God, all the joy, the strength of God. I have the peace of God, even if I'm in a battle. Let's go back to that verse. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now you left me. See, you left me hanging all by myself out here. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Stop. Stay right there. Where? Now, when I think of peace and joy, I'm thinking Christmas time and gifts handing out. I'm thinking birthday time. I'm thinking vacation time. I'm thinking going to the beach somewhere. Come on, somebody. And have nothing to do and nobody to ask me a question. And it's nice and quiet. And I have... Would you all leave me alone so I can have some peace? But God says, I'm going to give you joy and peace while you're believing. So there's a way to walk this journey. There's a way to believe. There's a way to operate in faith. There's a way to fight the good fight of faith where there's turmoil on the outside, but on the inside, don't look at me that attitude. Come on now. Well, I've never seen it. Every time I'm fighting and praying, I'm all upset on the inside. Well, that's because we allow it inside, and we've all been there. When Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat, we're going to the other side, he went to sleep. He was at rest. When they woke him up and said, don't you hear that we're dying because the unexpected storm showed up, he stood up against the wind, the opposition, and rebuked the winds.
Right?
He took authority over the winds that was creating the problem, and then he spoke peace to the waves that was being reactionary to the strategic tactic of the enemy that was trying to keep Jesus from his destiny. And so the reason I bring all that up is that if Jesus had the storm on the inside, Jesus could not control the storm on the outside. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. One of the greatest things you can do is to control the inside you and not let it get rattled to the outside stuff that's coming to it.
Right, right.
And that's not always easy. It's definitely very, very hard in your own ability. In your own ability.
Yes.
But with God, say with God.
With God.
I remember years ago learning this lesson and being offended by somebody. We're not going to go into the realm of offense, but being offended by someone and getting mad and the Lord correcting me, I'm like, why are you correcting me? I didn't do it. They did it. They're the ones that were rude. They're the ones that said something that wasn't nice. They're the ones that did something that was offensive. But it wasn't the action. God will deal with them. But he was dealing with me and correcting me, not because it happened to me, but because I responded and I allowed the offense in. Okay, we'll leave that alone. Some of you are looking at me like, because I can't control people, but I can control.
Yes, yes.
I can only imagine what would happen if Jesus allowed the disciples' failures, the Pharisees' accusations, the traps of the Sadducees, to offend him and get sidetracked.
Yeah.
Oh, this is not going to work. Drop his head and just say, I'm done. I just cast out a demon, and they just said, I'm the devil. I'm done. That was so rude. That was so offensive. They're plotting. They're calling me crazy. That's so rude. I'm offended. No, he didn't, did he? Why? Because his target, his focus was on his destination. Sometimes we allow, I don't know who I'm talking to, this side thing. Sometimes we allow the little dogs yapping around our feet to direct the destiny that comes from heaven. Never let small-minded, small-opinionated, small thinking ever stop you from the big ideas that God has
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
Because you'll never get everybody to like you. You'll not get everybody to be for you. You'll get people, the greater things you do for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God, you're going to have more people that will try to sabotage you.
Yeah.
And you just got to get to where you be thick-skinned toward people. Thin skin toward the presence of God, but thick skin toward people. Because if they talk about you, oh well.
Right, exactly.
It is what it is. And you love them, and you let them go. And sometimes they come back. And sometimes they don't. But I don't see anywhere in heaven where God, when I get to heaven, God's going to say, how many people did you keep happy? Okay, we'll leave that right alone. Let's get back to my notes. All right, you ready to read again? Some work in you today. Romans 15, verse 13. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, wait. See, we threw him off. There we go. Oh, there we go. 1, 2, 3. Now the very good. Give yourself a hand clap for that. I'm laughing at myself because some of you thought I was going to stop you after that third time. Now that God, you're pausing with your words. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and believing, in, joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, that you may abound in hope, that the God of hope fills you with joy and peace while you're believing that you may abound in hope, that you may abound in hope. So God's bringing you, the God of hope wants to get you to the place of him. So the God of hope wants to get you to abounding place of hope. And so he's going to do it by filling you with peace and joy.
Amen.
Now, if you go into the different translations, the New Living says it this way, on that bounding with hope, it says, and you will overflow with confident hope. You will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Amplified says it this way, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. I like that. You will overflow. Say, I'm overflowing. Come on, say, I am overflowing.
I am overflowing.
Say, I am overflowing with confidence in His promises. See, now that's a different thing. So joy is just, and peace is just not a matter of, oh, I feel so warm and fuzzy today. No, it's a confidence. It's an attitude of confidence toward His promises. Like Romans 4, who Abraham was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise was well able to keep it. How do we get ourselves to a place that we are overflowing with confidence in His promises? Because if you don't have hope, then you are hopeless. And when you're hopeless, you find yourself helpless. And you don't do anything but sit and cry and wait for somebody to do for you what God's called you to step into. Do you see my point?
Yes.
Abound in overflow. The original Greek, you could say it this way out of the original text, says confident in joyful expectation. Confident in joyful expectation. Confident in joyful expectation. Have a sense of confidence and expectation. We've all been there in other things. Maybe when you're young, you were excited about Christmas. Maybe you're looking forward to the Super Bowl with confidence and expectation of what you're going to do. Yeah. Could be a vacation. Could be what are things that you have looked forward to with a great expectation and confidence? I'm so excited about, I'm getting off next week and I'm going to be on vacation and whatever it might be. You approach it with anticipation, expectation, and confidence. It's a joy. You're looking forward to it. Say, you're looking forward to it. When we begin to understand the promises of God, we can look forward to the fulfillment of what He's already promised us through His word.
Yes.
Confident expectation.
Yeah.
Say, confident expectation. Hebrews tells us this. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence. Look how important this is. Yeah. Do not cast away, one translation says, your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward.
Yeah.
It has a glorious and great. So my confidence, my fearless confidence and joy, my overflowing confidence of hope, my overflowing confidence in His promises carries me to a place of great reward. To a great reward.
Yes.
Now let me throw this out before I get into the meat of this topic. What is a great reward? I'll tell you what a great reward is. Let's back it up. What is a reward? A reward is something that is caused by the results of your action.
Right.
Right?
Right.
A reward. So if I stay with it and don't throw away my confidence, there is a reward.
Yes.
There is. Say, there's a reward.
There is a reward.
There's a reward if I don't give up. There's a reward if I don't throw the towel in.
Yeah.
There's a reward if I don't quit in the journey.
Yeah.
There's regardless of the winds blowing against you, there's a reward for standing strong. Having done all, stand. Having done the will of God, stand. There's a reward for standing regardless. It's not the reward of just the outcome, what you're going to get by your own expectation. There's a reward from heaven for doing what God's asked you to do.
Amen.
Say, there's a reward. There's not only a reward as a consequence of you standing. The Bible says that there is a great reward. You know what a great reward is? That's a reward that's greater than what's your expectation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if you're expecting a raise and you want a $10 an hour raise and they give you a $12 an hour raise, you're excited because it's greater than your expectation.
Right.
So reward, if it matched your expectation, you would say, that's a nice reward I got. But when it's a great reward, that means it's greater than what you expected. So God is saying, if you stand strong, stay with me. If you stand, if you hold on to this confidence of the promises of my word that I am able to do it, if you stand strong, there it, don't throw it away because it has with it great reward.
Amen.
The point of my assignment today, more than a message, more than a sermon, I feel like I'm here for an assignment. Listen to me. And this is not for everybody. And if it's not for you today, just sit there, smile, and say a few hallelujahs and write it down. Because down the road, somewhere in the journey of your life, you will need this message.
Yep.
Because today I want to talk to those who are on the verge, on the edge, about to throw in the towel. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. It might be a health situation. It might be a financial crisis. You are in crisis mode, and you're about getting ready to bow your knee, give in, throw in the towel, and walk away and just quit. And for you, I am showing up today, and God has redirected everything for you so that you know that you do not have to throw in the towel. You have a choice, and if you hang on to the confidence of his word, there is a great reward. Shout, there is a great reward. You do not have to accept the way life has been dealt to you. You can't stand up and make a change. There is a great reward. How do we tap into that? All right, Pastor, how do I get this joy and peace? You sold me now. Now I want it. I'm believing. I'm using my faith. It's taken longer than I expected, but I want this joy in believing, because the joy in believing will send me through. The joy and peace while I'm believing will send me through to the journey of my reward that you have for me, Father God. Overflow with confident hope. Overflow with confidence in his promises. Before I get into that, let me give you an illustration. Super Bowl's coming up. How many football fans do we have? Just a few. Did anybody watch that San Francisco game? I'm praying for you, because that's the saddest win I have ever seen. That is the saddest win. If I was the quarterback, I would give my paycheck. I would just say, I don't deserve a paycheck this week. Come on, say, you know, some of you know what I'm talking about. They don't deserve a win. That was just, okay, we'll leave that alone. I have family and friends that are on both sides, but I was thinking, my nephew Austin loves Green Bay, he has forever. I thought, oh, they're going to win this. Sad, sad, sad. Talk about the weakest link of a chain breaking. I mean, that is just sad. I'd turn in my paycheck. But anyway, I have developed a system over the years, and I joke about it, that when it comes to the Super Bowl, I typically don't watch the NFL throughout the season. I always like the last part of the season. That's when it gets real. That's when competition, everybody's really serious and a little nervous about playing, and they want to win. But I have found a system that has helped me to always pick the winner. Come on, somebody. You've been around. You know where I'm going. I have learned how to always, it has been foolproof, 100%, and I always, always pick the winner of the Super Bowl. Every year. Every year. Now, if you want to know who's going to win, come up and ask me. After the game. Because I pick the winner after the game. It's brilliant. I don't see. We can make a fortune on this. I always pick the winner, and I wait till after the game's over. And then I see who wins, and that's my team. And I want you to know it from my, you might laugh and disagree, but from my part of the world, from my perspective, from my attitude, my viewpoint, it's a wonderful place. I don't stress. I don't get nervous. I enjoy the game because I know I'm going to win. There's sometimes games go up and games go down. Sometimes it gets boring, sometimes it gets exciting. But one thing I know, Pastor Greg's team's going to win. And I've gone to these Super Bowl parties and people are stressing out. They get so into it. Don't talk to me. Anybody have someone like, and then they're eating nonstop out of the stress. They're doing all kinds of, they're really not being themselves, right? Because they're stressed about the game of their team. Because they're afraid to lose. Not me. Come on. I'm relaxed.
Right.
Because I know
I'm going to win.
I just have to wait till it's over to pick my team. And so it's an enjoyable experience to me. I can have peace and joy in the journey. Because I wait to the end to pick my team. Say, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? I think one of the challenges that we deal with when we are when we're being discouraged and not encouraged, when we're struggling and not flourishing in the believing phase, is because we are looking in the moment.
Right. Exactly.
And I challenge you to begin to look not at the moment of the game, of the battle, of the journey, but learn to set your focus on the
end.
Oh, some of you are going to get this sooner than the others. Set your focus on the end.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Bible tell us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising. All right, despising. Ready for this? Looking unto Jesus, the author.
And finisher.
That's the one who started the journey.
Right.
And finisher.
Yes.
A lot of times as believers, we keep looking for the author. And he's calling you, beckoning you to the next level where your focus is not just on the author. Your focus becomes on the finisher.
Yes.
If you can find the finisher, you can find out from the finisher. Because the Bible says that God sees the end equally as the beginning. So when
right.
God starts something, he's already completed something.
Right.
So he never starts it without finishing it. You said that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to our timeline, but to God's timeline of eternity. Before he began, he completed it.
Yes.
So before Abram had a kid, he was called Abraham because God saw him in his completion when he was still in the process. Oh, someone stay with me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Abraham got to a place where he began to have confidence in God, and he could begin to call himself the completed work and not the process work.
Right.
Many times as Christians, we struggle in our faith because we are looking at the process work. And all we know is the beginning. Lord, you brought me here. Lord, you're the one that got me saved. Lord, you're the one that started me on this journey. Lord, you're the one that connected me to this church. Lord, and when things go with tension and problems, and many times the Bible says in Matthew 13 that there's pressure that comes because of the word's sake. And so you're like, Lord, I didn't have this pressure until I got into your word, but your word brought me here. You started this. And if you stay just on the beginning, you'll struggle to the end because your focus is not correct. What am I telling you to do if you want to encourage and step into this flow of the joy and the peace that's available to you from God, who wants to fill you with all joy and peace in believing? Don't just look at the beginning. Get your eyes off just the beginning. Don't just look at the starting. Begin to set your focus. Set your affection on things above, not things on the earth. Look not at the things that are temporal, but the things that are eternal, because the things that are eternal will not last. They're subject to change, but the things that are eternal will last forever. What am I telling? Begin to find the finisher.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Find the finisher.
Yeah.
Say, find the finisher.
Find the finisher.
So if you're struggling with finances, just don't look at the present or the process. Begin to look to the completer.
Amen.
Lord, I want you to show me.
Yes.
I want you to show me where this ends for
yeah.
me. I want you to show me. Open my eyes. That's an acceptable prayer. It's prayed in the Bible. Open my eyes. The prophet said about the servant, Father, open his eyes.
Yeah.
Paul said to the church in Ephesians, give them the revelation, anointing of revelation, understanding that their eyes of their understanding would be open. Open our eyes. Open my eyes, Father God, so that I can see the completion of where you're taking me. Because typically, no person running a race runs it without knowing the finish line.
Right.
No one starts a race without knowing the finish line. If you don't know the finish line, you're just running. How do you know when you get there? How do you know you haven't already been there? How do you know? And the devil will try to discourage you to quit, saying, it'll never happen. Find the finisher. He's the author and finisher of your faith.
Yes.
So we need to find our finisher. Three things you can do to help us find the finisher. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Number one, remind yourself what God has done in your life.
Amen.
Psalms 150, verse 2. This is not unusual, but what we're going to see is what God's asked us to do before. Now we do it with a different perspective. Psalms 150, verse 2. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. What am I telling you to do? Begin to give God praise for what he has done. We talked a little bit about this last week. That's what David did. David praised God to the king about what God had done in his life and then took the review of his praise and turned it into a preview of his future battle. Looking back to what God has done and begin to spend time. It's a dangerous place to live when you forget the good things that God has done in your life. Israel, every time God would do a miracle, they begin to grumble and complain about the next problem. All they thought was problem, problem, problem. That's annoying. That's annoying to God. That's annoying to parents. Can you imagine every time you do something nice for your children, they don't even say thank you. They just ask for the next thing. They don't spend any time say, I appreciate what you've done here. All it is hey, you haven't done this so far. And God wants you to ask. He doesn't mind you asking. But there's a power in we following the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And so if the things aren't being added, there must be something in his process of his kingdom, how he does stuff, that we still need to learn. So I'm going to praise him. For what he's done. That's what praise is. It's all about what God has done, his power. You got to spend time every day. Like, oh, I just feel so discouraged. I just need somebody to help me. Somebody. And the Bible says we're supposed to encourage each other. I need somebody to encourage me. You might not find somebody to encourage. You encourage yourself.
Amen.
In the Lord. You say, but the doctor said, that's what the doctor says. That's the process. That's the problem. That's the mountain. Let's talk about who God is. Father, I thank you that you are the mountain-moving God. I thank you that you're all-sufficient. I thank you that there is no one like you. Look at the Psalms of David. David had his own set of problems, but he began to come back and say, Lord, I thank you that we can't measure your greatness. Your power is without measure. Father God, I thank you. You are so good that there is none like you. Father, I thank you. It's better to be a greeter at the door of entrance of your presence than to own a million mansions and be out of your will. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. You are so amazing. And begin to give him thanks. Father, I thank you for that time you healed me 7 years ago when the doctor said I was sick and I was dying. I thank you that you are the healer, and begin to praise him for what he's done. Most of you are like, I don't know what to praise him. You don't even write things down. How do you, history, God would tell him, do something to remind yourself of what I've done. Start writing things down. What has God done in your life? And when the devil messes with you, go to the book.
Amen.
Have a verse, have the experience, and begin to say, oh, well, devil, if you're going to bring that up, let me tell you some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Write it in your Bible if you want. Get to that page and have the verse and say, oh, don't you remember that time he got me out of debt when I was about to lose everything? And he gave me a job, an idea, and now I'm blessed and flourishing because those who are planting the house of God, Psalms 1, they are going to flourish in the courts of God. Are you listening to me? Oh, don't you remember that time my child was sick and I didn't know what to do and I just began to pray and you healed my child? You got to remember the things that God has done in your life.
Yes.
You got to remember what God has done.
Yes.
We're all like, yeah, I'll just get to it. Get me to the end. You can't get to you don't get to third base until you get to first base.
Come on.
You don't score until you go around. Oh, I just want to go right to it. No. There's growth in this process. There is something you have to understand and develop within the rhythm of routine of your life. And you got to begin to say, Lord, I just want to spend time praising you today. I know what the doctor said. I know what the boss just said. They might close down and I might not have a job. The devil starts telling you, how are you going to pay for your house? How are you going to pay for the car? How are you going to take care of the kids? How are you going to do this? Don't worry about the how. You start focusing on the who. Father, I thank you that you are good. You are good. And even when I don't know how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, where you're going to do it, I'm going to begin. The devil will mess with you a lot less when he knows you react with praise instead of reacting with panic.
That's right. Sure will.
They'll have a little sign by your house. Don't go down that road. They'll start praising even when they weren't scheduled to praise. It's not Sunday, but they'll just get into praise. Why? Because you're not moved by what you're feeling, hearing, or seeing. You're moved by what the Word of God is. And you got to bring back the remembrance.
Amen.
Of what he's done.
Yeah.
What has he done in your life? What has he done in your life? Take the next 60 seconds. I'm serious about this. We're going to work you. We're not wanting you just to come in and be a number that's counted. We want you to experience the presence of God and the Word of God. All right? And we're going to do it corporately because there's always, if one to put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. So you are in a great place. to praise his name.
Yeah.
You can sit, you can stand, you can raise your hand, you can fold your fingers. I don't care what you do. But over the next 60 seconds, I want out of your mouth, you begin to give him praise. You can pray in English, you can pray in the Spirit. Don't matter to me. In the next 60 seconds, are you ready? Because some of you, I don't feel it. That's why you need to do it. Don't wait for a goosebump before you praise him. Don't wait for an exciting moment before you praise him. You got to be able to stand in the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, I'm going to praise him when it looks like only fire around me. Because the greatest thing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced that day wasn't just victory. It was they begin to experience God in a whole new fashion, that he is more than enough and well able to protect them. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Give him a praise. Give him a praise. What has he done in your life? What has he done in your life? Tell him who he is in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for providing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for delivering. Thank you for saving. Thank you, Father God, for victory. We thank you. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. We're tired of just showing up in church like a routine. Lord, we thank you that you are good every day, all the time. Thank you, Father God. We can access your presence any place. You will never leave us nor forsake us. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You are the God of more than enough. You have created the heavens and the earth. You know the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. 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 Now that might be a little different for some, but that's okay. That's okay. We want you to, according to Romans, we want you to walk it out at your level of faith. We want you, so you can be an observer and say, I'm not too sure about it. That's fine. But let me encourage you, put it on the back shelf, because one day, if you're ever in a situation and you start to feel discouraged and helpless and hopeless and you feel surrounded by the enemy and don't know where to turn, I pray you're reminded by the Spirit of God of a preacher who said, even when you don't feel it, begin to give him praise. Even when you don't see it, begin to give him praise. Even when you don't know how it's going to end, begin to give him praise. Even when you don't know what to do, begin with praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. We're going to change the climate. You're going to change the climate. What are we doing? I'm not too sure about this. There's a little more energy than I'm used to. That's fine. But if the devil's trying to kill your child, you better come up with some energy. We don't force anybody in a mold, but we want you to know that there is a way that being passive with the devil and saying, oh, please, Lord, is somehow. No. The Bible tells us you are strong and courageous. Are you listening? That the righteous are bold as a lion. There's a boldness within the presence of God, the authority of God, that when the devil strikes, come on, you look so spiritual on Sunday, but you know somebody tried to break into the window of your child's bedroom in the middle of the night, the next thing they would hear is the closest gun that you got, and you wouldn't come. I don't care if you're 4'2", 98 pounds. All of a sudden, there'd be a giant rising up out of bed and say, you come through the door, I'm going to take you out. Why? Because the maternal instinct within you rises up. Don't mess with the mama and her children. Don't mess with the daddy and his kids. I'm letting you know that inside of you is the Spirit of God. And when you realize that you are greater as he that is in you than he that is in the world, you just rise up and say, devil, you don't have a right here. You are an intruder, and I take authority over you, and you must go. I'm going to find the finisher. Say, I'm going to find the finisher. We can as Christians, and we've all been there, so don't feel bad if this is you specifically today. As Christians, we can find more time to cry to God in almost a complaining, poor me prayer request. In the idea, and again, I believe in worshiping God, and if you got tears, that's great. But some people pray, interceding, asking God, and they do it from an attitude of being so sorry, oh God, and pitiful, thinking that God will feel sorry for him and do something. No, God's moved by faith. It's already been done, according to the Word of God. He has already completed. He's given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It has been done at the cross of Calvary. It has been done. Hebrews 3 and 4. You have to strive to enter into that rest. Why? Because it has been done. The devil's trying to keep you out. That's why John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. A thief doesn't try to give you something you don't want. He tries to take something you already have, even if you're not aware of its value. He's trying to get something from you that's already been purchased for you, that belongs to you as a child of God. All I'm trying to do is awaken you to the reality that what the enemy's trying to do in your life, it's not give you something. He's trying to take something that belongs to you so you can say, wait a minute, and shut the door. Because if you catch a thief, the Bible says, he must return. Come on, somebody. We get a hold of this. The next time the devil even thinks about messing with you, you're going to rise up and say, woo, this is the day the Lord has made. Promotion's coming to me. Increase coming to me. The devil's just showed where he was creeping in. I can not only lock the door to keep him out, but I'm going to make sure before I kick him out, I take everything he has. That means not only things he's tried to take from me in the past, that's anything he's tried to take from other people. Now, if they don't know how to get it back, that's between them and God. But if he's taking it from them, it might not be just what he's trying to take from me. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You're trying to get back to the place of where you were before you had the fight. You don't deserve to be where you were before he had the fight. That's not the goal. The goal is you walk out of that fight, not only winning, completed, but with the reality that you have more than before.
Amen.
If he messes with your finances and tries to tell you you're going to lose it all, you need to walk out of here and say, God, I'm not praying that you protect me and help me just survive. I'm praying that I step into the anointing that belongs to me and I begin to operate in the authority you've called me. I want to see, I got to find the finisher, because if I find the finisher, I can tell, not only do you have to let go of what you try to take, put it all there that you had in your pockets. Everything you had in the bank. Everything you thought belonged to you. It might not sound fair to the enemy, but you're not here to play fair. You're letting him know he should have never messed with you in the first place. Find the finisher. Shout, I'm finding the finisher today. Woo, I'm finding the finisher. I start with my praise about what he's already done. Because he's, are you ready? Are you ready? He who has begun a good work. See, I got you praising him for something he's already done. And if I get you to see what he's already done, it's a smaller step to understand the word that said, he which has begun a good work in you will what? Complete it. Finish it. I'm going to find the finisher. Oh, my God. I'm not roaming in the dark looking for the starter. I'm not looking for the beginning. I'm going to the finisher. I'm going to fight from the finisher's position. I'm going to live from the finisher's perspective. I'm going to stand in the place of authority of the finisher. And then when the enemy tries to mess with me, I don't go back to where it was. He will try to get you to look to your history or to your present. But I'm saying, get into the position. That's why Jude says, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Most people get caught up about the praying in the Spirit. But you missed it. It didn't say build yourself up in your faith. It said build yourself up on your faith. I'm climbing the ladder because there's a place for me higher so that I can look down and say, I see it now from a different view because I found the finisher. Son, I'm finding the finisher today. So if I can see your praise, what he's already done, then I can begin to apply. Number two, to find the finisher, not just praise him, worship him for who he is. You need to spend time. Because if I know what he's done, then I know who he is.
Yes.
Because what he has done is not defining. It's an expression of who he is.
Right.
See, we get this messed up in the church world because we try to do good to be righteous. And so we exhaust ourselves trying to do something to look a certain way, not realizing that that's not where the life comes from. You are a branch. He says, I'm the branch, you're the vine. And when, he's the vine, you're the branch. And what happens, the connection to the flow of what's happening in Jesus flows through us, which means I do good because I am, not because I'm trying to become. Oh, come on, somebody. So I begin to love because I'm in love. Not because I'm trying to look like I love people. I do good because of the compassion of God of where I'm already at. Do you see that? Religion will tell you to do things to become something. Righteousness says you already... You are already... Come on, I'm going to get you there. You are already... Doesn't the Bible say you are complete in Him? It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. And when I understand who I am in Him, in Christ, then everything flows from that. That's where the life is. If you're exhausted in your Christian walk, I guarantee you the problem will be you're trying to achieve out of discipline to become something that you have already been purchased by the blood of Jesus for you. Okay, we're moving right along. So praise, number two, worship. Worship. That's not what God has done. That's who He is. If I know what He's done, then I begin to know who He is. God would do something and would give them a name so they would know who He is by His nature.
Right.
If I know who He is by His nature, then I know how He operates.
Right.
Israel began to observe the acts of God. Moses, the Bible says, knew the ways of God. To know the ways of somebody, you need to know the heart of somebody. So when people say God did something, that's an act of God, that tornado. You can say, that's not an act of God because I know His heart.
Yes, yes.
And His heart is good. Jesus said, there's none good but one, and that's the Father.
Amen.
Worship is beginning to honor Him and love Him for who He is.
Amen.
Just take a moment right where you're at. You close your eyes, lift your head, and just begin to love Him for who He is. Begin to tell Him how much you love Him. Just tell Him how much you love Him. Thank you, Father God. You are good. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Father, we thank You today. We invite Your presence here. We love You, Father God. More than stuff that's in Your hands, we've come to search Your heart, Your face, to know You. We long to know You, Lord. We long to know more of You. We worship You, Father, in spirit and in truth, because of the blood of Jesus. We boldly enter Your presence. We love You, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remind yourself what He has done. Remind yourself who He is. That's your worship. Hallelujah. Some of you are already experiencing the atmosphere change in your own life, are you not? I'm telling you, this works anywhere you're at. Your apartment, your car, your house. You can change the atmosphere around you. We're going to say, I'm finding the finisher. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father God. Thank You. Play that one more time, if you would. Let's sing that song. Play that. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, come on. How great Thou art. Sing, sing, sing out loud. Hallelujah. Sing to the Lord, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number three, remind yourself what He has done. Remind yourself who He is, that's your worship. Remind yourself what He has said. Remind yourself. God tells us to remind Him Bring me into remembrance. It's not because he's forgotten. We need to remember what he has said. Again, Romans 4, Abram, who became Abraham, was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise, the few verses before, said he did not consider his own body nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but was fully in a hopeless situation. He believed in hope. In a hopeless situation, he believed in hope. Why? Because he looked to the Word and said, I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know who you are. Therefore, I can have confidence that what you said. See, if someone comes and tells you, so-and-so says, if you do this, they're going to do that. If you don't know them, you don't know to trust them.
Right.
But when you know somebody and you know they're trustworthy, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Quit looking to your emotions or your feelings today. Find the finisher. Lord, I'm going to begin to see it from your word, who you've called me to be. And the word of God is amazing because it will tell you things that don't look right in the natural. The Bible will say, let those who are weak say, I am strong in the Lord.
Right.
Well, I don't feel strong. It didn't say if you felt strong.
Right.
It says, you're strong. Why? Because you're looking from the perspective of the finisher.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to handle it. Well, that's what the now is saying, the temporary. Begin to look for the finisher.
Yes.
He's the one that says that you're the healed of the Lord.
Amen.
But that's not what the doctor says. Look to the finisher. Find the finisher. Find the finisher. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Confidence in God. I'm going to praise him. You say, oh, I've done that before. But now you're doing it from a perspective of you're looking for the finisher. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Now the God of hope, let me end with this verse, what we started with. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, are you listening to me? It's not about you making it happen.
Right.
It's the power of God's presence. And sometimes some of us, we've been around the anointing, the presence of God, and ministry, the word of God, that sometimes we forget. We get caught up, if we're not careful, into the routine of Christianity and not the reality of Christianity. And Lord, I'm not feeling it. I'm not seeing it. But I'm going to begin to move toward the finisher today. Knowing that it's you who's doing the work. It's you. It's him. It's him. It's not your job to complete it. It's your job just to obey.
Amen.
You do your part, he'll do his part. You do your part, he'll do his part. Which part? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Why? Because I'm looking. Say, I'm looking for the finisher. Did you get anything from that today?
Oh, yeah.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking, do you know Jesus in a real and personal way? The way you experience, the way you process, the way you understand, the way you live, that you know without any question, shadow, or doubt that Jesus Christ is real and that he is Lord and Savior of your life. If you don't, you can't. Revelation 3 says, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. He'll never kick the door down, but he makes the invitation. And if you respond to him, he'll come in. So I'm going to pray a prayer in a few seconds. I'm going to pray a prayer in a few seconds. And if that's you and you're like, Pastor, I do not know Jesus in a real and personal way. Maybe this is the first time you've heard the gospel, or maybe you've allowed stuff to come between you and God and you know your heart's not right. Either way, this is your day. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, sins forgiven, go into heaven. Because good people don't go to heaven, forgiven people do. You don't need to, you are so important to God. You do not need to live with a weight of sin and burden over your life. He paid the price through his son so you can be free. Say this pray this prayer with me, if you would. Say, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Be real to me today in a way that I know for myself that you're real and you're my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now look up here. If you prayed that prayer, we want to recognize you. We want to celebrate you. And I want to pray a blessing over your life before we close. I want you to do something. At the count of three, I want you, if you prayed that prayer, it meant business with God. At the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet and just stay where you're at. We're going to applaud, and then we're going to pray. A quick prayer over you. I'll do the praying in a few seconds. And I'm going to pray that God, according to the scripture, that he would strengthen you with might on the inside of who you are, that real person, your spirit person. The Bible says that we can be strengthened with might by the Spirit of God. Simple prayer, because the reality is, as we get closer and closer to the end times, and we are in the end of the end times, as we get closer and closer to this thing wrapping up, the devil's not going to try to get quieter. He's going to try to get stronger. But the truth is, we're stronger than him. Amen? If you're here last week, we're much, much stronger. We're so strong that we are messing up his whole plans with it, having an antichrist, the Bible says. He's been trying to have an antichrist show up for thousands of years. Can't do it. Not while you're here.
Yeah.
Because my Bible says one will put 1,000 in flight and 2 10,000 in flight.
Amen.
My Bible says in Matthew 18:18, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And what you loose, you have authority. Amen.
Amen.
But he's going to be out there trying to put pressure on people. And I know it's kind of awkward to stand up in front of people. I get it. I'm that same way. But I tell you the truth, it does something to in your mind, because if we can't stand up for Jesus in a house of God where people are clapping for you, how do we stand up for Jesus in the world when people are trying to mock us? We need supernatural strength to live for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Not be something you're not. Not talk weird or be different. But you need strength. Say, I need strength.
You need strength.
And that comes from God. So at the count of three, if you prayed that prayer, first time salvation or rededication, either one. We want to celebrate you and we want to pray over you at the count of three. One, two, three. Stand to your feet right now. Who do we pray with? Thank you. God bless you. Who else? Who else? That's not the only one. Stay standing if you would. Amen. Come on. We'll give it a few more seconds. Now, the Bible says if one person gets saved, heaven's celebrating. So I'm celebrating for you, okay? I'm celebrating with you. This is a big deal. But I also know that there's two or three more that are trying to be shy, and I'm going to wait for you. If you've been around here long enough, I do not mind waiting. I'm not pressuring people, because it's important for you to walk out of this building not saying, oh, why didn't I stand up? But walk it out saying, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. A few more seconds. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. There's one more person and I'll wait. There's two to three. The third one, I'm going to wait 10 seconds. Thank you. Stretch your hands toward these people. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, we speak supernatural blessing over their life. Father, we seal them with the precious blood of Jesus. And according to your word, I pray that you anoint them and supernaturally charge them with strength that comes from only heaven above. Thank you. In their inner person, in their spirit, we thank you for that. And we give you praise. And everybody shouted, amen. God bless. You're proud of you. You may be seated. Give them a big hand clap.